Blog Talk Radio.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? Save the world.
Save the world.
That's destiny. Suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
We can't stop living. Live life for the children.
Everyone, welcome to Dry Bones Connection on Thursday night. This is Antoinette, and tonight I have a special guest that's going to be with us, Viola Gay, and she's going to be talking about her brother, Marvin Gay. And for right now, I have Miss Kim Weston and Elder Dr. Raymond Fontroy. Miss Kim and
hello.
Brother Ray. Hello.
Yes, I'm here. Hello,
yes,
Miss Kim.
Yes, Miss Kim.
Yeah, I guess she stepped away for a moment. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to
this exciting show coming up. This is a very exciting show coming up.
Yes. Yes, it is. Is there a favorite song that you like of Marvin Gaye's? We can see if I have.
Yes, there are a lot of favorite songs that I have from Marvin Gaye. I don't know if you have them, but a lot of the songs that he, most of the songs that we know about, that the public knows about, are the songs about What's Going On and Mercy, Mercy Me. But
yeah.
There's some songs that he had before that I had too, that we used to jam on back in the day. The one that I like the most, I'm trying to think of it, it's Last Chance. I don't know if you ever heard it, but it's one of my favorites.
No, I've never heard that one.
But he also did an album of middle of the road songs, kind of jazz songs. It was an excellent album. And I hear songs on there that I love. And all of his songs had a spiritual base in them. So.
Yes. Yes, they all had a special meaning.
Yes,
where he sang about his life, like, you know, what things were going on in his life at that time, you know, the songs that he wrote.
Yeah, that's what songs are for. That's what music is for. It sends a message.
Yeah.
It gives a message, you know, to the people. Yeah. You know, in that business, you have to please, you know, some money-making business. Like he said to me and McCoy, Van McCoy, said, we can't make any money over here doing this, in the gospel, that is. They couldn't make any money in the gospel music back in the day because it was all right, but they weren't playing it and people weren't excited about it like they are today. So
I'm sorry, Brother Rex.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a gospel song that he sang, the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, I don't think I've heard that one.
Okay, well, let me play that.
Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4.
All right, that was beautiful.
Yes, a cappella. I was just thinking, as we were listening to that, he wrote about the Vietnam War and the things that were going on and what's going on. And I just wondered what he would be writing about today with all that we're going through as a people and
you know,
all that this country is taking us through. Being as wise as he was and as spiritual as he was, I wonder what he would be writing today.
I don't know, you know, especially when what's going on still pertains to today.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. That's why we call him the prophet.
Yes.
Definitely. Prophesied all of this.
Yes. And his album cover in our lifetime is something how he had all these things on there.
Yeah.
With the wars and, you know, sin and everything. And I seen in there where, to me, it was Trayvon Martin where you seen the hoodie, you know, the person in the hoodie.
Yeah.
And I always thought that, you know, that resembled Trayvon Martin, you know, that was, you know, about Trayvon Martin. But it was something because everything that was going on, you know, he showed is in our lifetime.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, these are things that happened after he left. Trayvon Martin happened. Yeah, after he left. So that's why you have to consider it as prophecy.
Yes. Yes. He was a great man. He was truly a great man, one that is dearly missed. Because I love Marvin Gaye's music. But you knew the man personally.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, y'all used to hang together in the streets of D.C. and sing.
Well, the thing is, the thing is, we've had so many great people among us over the years. And they've left us with such a legacy. I listened to another show today, and I just can't understand why we keep reacting to what is happening to us when all of this instruction has been given us. We know who the people are who are creating the problems, but we still go along with it and act as if we don't have the power to change it. Maybe it's because we're free. You know, and I know that Marvin was the kind of stand-up guy. You're not going to back him down but so much. And I think that maybe today we would be able to get a little further along than we are. We have the same problems that we had then. You know, our children have gone off the rail. And like he was saying, we got to save these babies. You know?
Yeah.
Things ain't like they used to be.
So I'm sure the message that he would have today would be very strong.
Absolutely.
You know, that would help to lead the country in the right way.
And nobody has filled that void. Nobody
filled
that void. So we got a lot of things to do. We have a lot to do. You know, can't give up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. That we definitely cannot do. We can't give up. We definitely can't. And, you know, we just have to look to the messages that he's already given us. You know, to help to guide us. You know, we have to listen to them, and that would be a help. You know, especially during these times, that would be a help.
Yeah, we have the voice of God. We got to listen to the Holy Spirit. The system has its plans. It's got a master plan, but it's not the master's plan. and we got to understand what that means. We don't go by, I don't go by their rule. And they, you know, they have their own rule, and we can see it's not the, it's not right. They're wrong.
Right.
We know one came to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, so who are these people, and what are they? Who know? You keep telling us that we have to vote and change it. No, the vote is never changing because it's their system. One for me, one, two for you. Two for me, one, two.
Yeah.
You know how it goes. They always will always win when they're in control. And things continue to get worse. That's just the distraction that they put on us all. Every time it's the same game they play. We haven't caught on yet.
Yeah.
They always have distractions while they do their dirt.
Yeah. That is true, Brother Greg. That is definitely
also
true.
Yeah, I also say that the leaders, and in particular the musicians, that's just the entertainers, there have been many entertainers who tried to help us through this by singing and giving music and providing and supporting the cause. They all supported the cause of the Dr. King. You know, Marvin was a great supporter of Dr. King, no question about it. You know, Aretha Franklin, of course. You know, Sidney Poitier. You know, you could go down a list of that day. They all supported the moon. They know it took money, and they put their money in. That's why the organization, that's why he could go all over this country and do what he had to do. Didn't have to worry about how he's going to get there, how he's going to pay the bill. You know, so we have to appreciate those, and in particular, you know, like Marvin, for example. A lot of guys that I know who got big in the industry but kept going, never even looked back, never even thought about looking back or helping anybody but themselves. And he certainly wasn't that way. Yeah.
Yeah, I read where he helped with a lot of causes, and, you know, where he not only donated money but his time, and, you know, even when he did shows and everything, he would donate it to different activists and different protests and, you know, whatever was going on in the world at that time that he felt really strongly about. He would give his time and his money.
You know, Roberta Flack did the same thing, because we were all in the same era. Van McCoy, Roberta Flack, Donny Hathaway. I mean, all of us came up through the same era. You know, I'm just one of those that got stuck in the civil rights movement. I got in there and I couldn't get out. Didn't want to get out. Cause I was, you know, I was one of those diehard soldiers. I was ready to go through this thing. And I have gone through that thing because I'm still in it. But the point is that we do have those we had them. I don't know where they are today. It's been broken off, and I'm not sure. I hear these guys are making so much money, but I don't see it filtering down to organizations to make a difference, to make a change. And I also know that they mimic us, the system mimics us and starts organizations that we think are working for us, but they're not. They're at the hands and the control of the enemy. You know, I don't mind it. Black Lives Matter is controlled by George Soros. You know, and George Soros is definitely. So, you know, we're in an era now where we really have to thank those who went before us, and we have to pick up on what they were saying and doing. You know, it's on us now. It's our generation and the generation that's behind us. God help them, but it's a generation that's behind us. And behind them, that's going to benefit from whatever we do today.
Yes. Yeah, that is so, so true. But Ms. Viola should be with us in like 10 minutes. She said she was going to call in at 9:30. So she will be with us shortly. While we wait, I'm going to play another song. Let me see. Okay, I'm gonna try this one, Brother Ray, and see if you remember this one. That was Yesterday by Marvin Gaye.
Well, you know, that shows his genius. So that was I didn't recognize it. That was a genius representation of that song. It's a Beatles song, and he just beat it up.
Oh, okay. I knew I heard it before from another group.
Yeah. Yeah. The genius of Marvin Gaye.
Pardon me?
The genius of Marvin Gaye.
Yes, yes. But some of the groups from England that came here, wasn't he was responsible for, wasn't he? Or he was the their inspiration to come here.
And that I can't answer. I really don't know. But I know that our music influenced the whole world. You know,
yes.
I mean, you know, all of our music. And it appears that in England they really did like and loved our music, and they copied as much as they could.
Yes. Yes, they did. Yeah, because they gave Miss Kim a title over in England. You know, and I have read where they just loved Marvin Gaye. So he was definitely an inspiration for around the world. And that's
a national star. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, he was.
Absolutely.
Yes. I'm going to play another one of his gospel songs.
The shadows come. Oh, tell me why should I feel so lonely, so lonely? And long for heaven and a home. Oh yeah,
inspirational.
It's awesome.
Yes. Oh my. Wow. Oh. But I guess he got that from his parents. Pardon me?
He got it out of the church. I mean, he's a church guy. I want his sister to tell you all about it. Oh.
Yes. And so, you know, with his father being a preacher and mother, you know, from what his sister says, that, you know, his mother was a prayer. You know, she prayed all the time. She was a prayer warrior.
So, sure was.
Yeah, so, wow. That is just really, really awesome. But I'd like to introduce you all to Sister Viola Gay, and she's going to talk about her brother Marvin. She has wrote a book. It's called My Brother Marvin, a memoir by Viola Gay. And she is an outstanding lady. And I'd like to introduce you to Sister Viola.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Dry Bones Connection. How are you?
I'm good, Antoinette. How are you? Hi, Ray.
Oh, thank you. And we have Brother Ray on the line with me.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, how are you? How are you, honey?
I'm good, thank God.
Good.
Yes, well, Sister Viola, we were talking about your brother. We was playing some music by Marvin. And
okay.
You wrote this outstanding book. It's really outstanding, y'all, and I really, you know, suggested y'all really get the book, My Brother Marvin by Viola Gay. And
well, thank
you will find, oh, no, thank you, because the reading the book, it felt like you were right there, you know, through everything, you know, even when you talked about when you were a baby and, you know, how your brother Frankie was feeding you raisins and, you know, your mother, who?
Yeah, isn't there something my mother saw it in my school?
Like,
who gave his baby raisins? Yeah, well, I'm glad you felt, you know, that was my purpose for writing the book. I want to be able to answer everybody's questions who might have questions about my family, about my brother and my father and mother and the whole, and my sister. I figure, you know, if I write the book and tell the truth, you know, I would answer a lot of questions, you know, that people have been getting wrong answers to from other people or other, you know, news people who wasn't at my house. They didn't live with me. And a lot of times I'm like, okay, where did they get this from? Where did they get this story? Because they was not in my house. So I wanted to write the book to set the record straight on a lot of things. And it was, you know, other than that, it was therapy for me. You know, it helped me to deal with everything that I was holding in for so many years.
Yeah. Well, let's get into that. And we're going to go from your beginning, from when you were a baby, and you and you had one brother that was a trickster that teased you and picked on you, and that was Frankie.
That was Frankie,
and then one brother that was the protector.
That was Marvin.
Yeah. And the blanket. You want to tell us about you being wrapped up in the blanket and their plans? You were their toy.
Oh. Well, you know, we didn't have a lot. We weren't dirt poor, but we was really poor. And we lived in the project. So we didn't have a lot of toys and stuff. So we kind of made the best of us being in the house, you know. So my brothers and my sister would have this blanket, and we had like 17 steps, and they would fold the blanket up, and we would slide down the steps, you know, like a sliding board, you know. And I thought that was so much fun. And of course they used to put me in the middle and toss me up in the air, and I would just be laughing. I wasn't even scared because I knew they wouldn't let anything hurt me, you know. They were the best brother and sister anybody could ever have, being the baby, since I was the youngest one, the baby.
Yeah.
So you had a wonderful mother.
Thank you. My mom was the, okay, here I go again, was the best mom anybody could ever have. And I'm sure everybody feels that way. But when anybody met my mom, they loved her immediately. And they all called her Mother Gay, you know. So, you know, and she would reciprocate and give that love right back to them. And she was so wise and so prayerful and so very, very, very spiritual and loving, you know. And she could heal. She was a healer, too.
Yes, I read that where she had the gift of healing.
Yeah. Well, in the book, I write a lot about my mom and her, you know, how she helped raise us. And, you know, in those days, sometimes you don't understand why your parents are a little strict. My father was very strict. He was a disciplinarian, but he loved us, you know, and a lot of people think he used to just wake up and say, oh, let me beat the kids today. That's not true. Anytime that we got a spanking or whooping, we deserved it. It was something that we did that we was not supposed to do. And his main thing was don't lie, you know. And a lot of times, you know, well, he had his little rules. Don't throw ball in the house, you know. Come in the house before it get dark and obey your sister because Jean was in charge when my parents wasn't home, you know. And Jean and Marvin clashed. They clashed because Marvin did not want anybody telling him what to do, you know. But it was all in fun and in love.
Oh, wow. Well,
I think that anybody who gets the book and read it, I think you'll be quite satisfied, you know, and you'll probably read some things in there that you can relate to in your family, that you went through in your family.
Yes.
So you'll know my family was dysfunctional. The only thing is we had a superstar in the family who grew up to be a superstar. But we was a dysfunctional family also, you know. No different than any other families that was out there except that one thing, you know, we had Marvin, which was such a blessing.
Yeah, and you and your brother Frankie, because you sang with your brother also. You sang with Marvin.
I sang with Marvin. Marvin let my group sing behind him when he did the Howard Theater. I was singing with this singer group. We were called the Boettes because we sang with Bo Diddley. And these were my girlfriends, and we all went to school together. So we thought we was, like, so cute, you know. So when Marvin came home to do the Howard Theater, I asked him, I said, Marvin, can we sing behind you? And he said, uh-uh. No. I said, please, we can do it. He said, well, I have to hear you. So I'm going to tell you, he let us sing Hitchhike behind him. And I'm telling you, to this day, I still know my notes. He made sure that we had it down perfect. And we did. But he worked us for one song. And then I also did Got to Give It Up. I didn't do any singing, but I'm the one making all the party sounds, you know, all the... Hey, what's happening on? That's me, you know. And he said, Z, you're the best party person I know ever, you know.
Yes, and we got to tell you, that was the nickname that your brother gave you, was Z.
Yes, he was the first one to ever, he cut out the Sweetie because everybody called me Sweetie because that was my nickname. And nobody called me Ziola, you know. I was named after my aunt Viola, my mom's sister. And Marvin said, you know what? You're growing up. You're Z. He started calling me Z. And I loved it. He actually made me grow up. He taught me so many things, you know, about life and living. And, you know, he was just as wise as my mom, you know, very, very wise. Yes.
And you talked about how he was a healer also.
Yes, that's some things that people have no idea that Marvin could do, you know, and I saw him in action, and I was like, oh, my God, what a blessing this is. He healed my back. I pulled my back out when we were in Switzerland, and I was trying to, you know, they they have these like go-karts almost, like not go-karts, but carts that you have in the grocery store. And you have to take care of your own luggage when you're going, you know, overseas. And I was trying to throw my suitcase in the cart, and I snapped my back out. And OMG. First, he sent me to a chiropractor. They found me a chiropractor in Switzerland, and he did some stuff on my back, but, you know, I was still in a lot of pain. So by the time I got back to the hotel, and he was like, how do you feel? I said, I'm still in pain. So he started massaging my foot, and he prayed over it, over my back, and he rubbed it, and, you know, and I'm not kidding. The pain went away. The pain actually went away. I don't know if it's mind over matter that helped it, but I know what he did made the pain go away. And, you know, that's one thing that he did that was healing that I know for a fact. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some things he did when he came to visit my mother when she was in the hospital, he would go see the other patients and sit and talk to them and pray over them. Marvin was very spiritual, you know, way beyond his years. Way beyond, you know.
He carried that aura with him as well. I mean, even in high school, he carried that aura, and I recognized it. But I didn't know what it was.
Right, none of us did.
Yeah.
When we used to look for him, my father would be like, "It's time to go to church." And go to the car. You guys go to the car, and Marvin, we get to the car. My father comes out, and everybody's in the car except Marvin. And he was like, where's Marvin? So I was, you know, I don't know. He said, well, go find him. And we would find Marvin. We would look for him and call him all through the neighborhood. And he would be down at the creek just watching the birds and the water in the creek with the tadpoles and stuff. And he would be meditating. And we didn't know what he was doing, but that was him talking to God then at a young age, you know.
Yeah.
And we would, you know, bring him back, say, "Oh, Father's going to be mad with you," you know. But then we would go to church, and he would go sit up in the pulpit with my father and sing. And you know what? I don't know if I wrote it in the book, but I tell it anyway. We should have all known something that how special he was, because we all sang, but Marvin didn't sing in the choir, the group. He was always a solo artist, you know, singer in church. And we all sang with the group, you know. I'm like, okay, this is special.
Yeah, he knew who he was.
Yeah,
he knew who he was.
For real, he knew. He definitely knew. He definitely knew. And you know, being the youngest, Marvin was 6 years older than me, and it's a lot. I didn't understand then, you know. And as I, you know, grew up and spent more time with him, when I got older, you know, things start falling in place. You know, all the puzzles started to for me, you know. And he was like my hero, you know. It was like, you know, whatever Marvin needed me to do, I was there to do it for him. And I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it, you know. If I felt I needed to take care of him, I did, you know. I was his nurse, his sister, his confidant, his best friend, you know. We were extremely, extremely close.
Yes, and that was good. That was good that you had that relationship with him. But you also had it with Frankie.
Frankie and I played so much because Marvin was away a lot, you know, when he went in service. And then when he came back from service, he, you know, went to Detroit. And Frankie was home, you know. It was he and I. And my sister Jean was traveling too because her husband was in the service, so she moved around a lot. So Frankie and I played, and he would tell me jokes, and he would come in and wake me up and say, "Sweetie, listen to this joke," and he would tell me jokes, and I would laugh until I was in tears, you know. And he would teach me. He taught me a lot. He taught me how to protect myself. He taught me, you know, and things that he taught me, Marvin wanted to teach it to me, like riding a bike, you know. Lawrence,
yeah.
I would tell him, I don't know how to do it yet. And Frank said, I'm going to teach you how to do it. But Frankie was like my best friend ever.
Yeah.
I miss them so much. You know, I don't. And they all left me. Everybody's gone. You know, I'm like, okay, guys, hello. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I miss them all so much. Yeah. And I just lost my sister just in April past. So it was just she and I left. And now, you know, it's just me and my kids and her kids and, you know, and we all very tight. We're all very, very tight.
Yeah.
You know, I love my family.
Great.
Yes, and it's good. That's good. And it's good that you have them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Make
keep
a
them,
difference.
Keep them together. Yeah, keep them
yes,
together because it means a lot.
Absolutely, definitely. We do that, yeah. You know. Everybody's here in Vegas except my baby. She's still in California with my grandson. But everybody else is here in Vegas with me, and it's a good thing. But we love going back visiting Nikki in California, and she'll come out here with Dominique, and, you know, we'll just have our little family get together, you know, for holidays or birthdays, you know. I'm sure I'll probably see them on Marvin's birthday because we all try to get together, which is coming up very soon, and just spend time together, and we dance and we sing, and you know, it's like our own little private party. But normally I normally do a tribute for Marvin on his birthday. The last couple of years I wasn't able to because of COVID, but this year I'm going to do it. But we still celebrate it, you know, have balloon release, and we sing his chansons. We write little notes on the balloons and sign them. And last year I went live on Facebook and shared my whole evening with my Facebook friends, and I would play music and dance, and, you know, and I would tell everybody, okay, 12 o'clock, I'm getting ready to send Marvin's balloons to him, and if anybody want me to say anything to him, hit me up, you know, and I get all kinds of messages and text messages, and I would put their names on the balloons and stuff, and it's so, so beautiful when I let the balloons go and send them to him. It's such a beautiful sight, you know. I take pictures of it, and we watch them until the balloons actually disappear totally, you know.
Yeah,
and that's something I kind of look forward to every year.
Yeah. Anyone who has a Cash App, Sister Ziola, do you have a Cash App?
I certainly do. It's $, and it's ZEEGAYEE. So it's Z Gay and ZEEGAYEE.
And anyone that wants to have a balloon release with a message on it, if you send $2 to Sister Ziola, she will take the message and put it on the balloon. And if she does it on Facebook again, are you going to do it on Facebook again this year?
I am. I'm going to release the balloons on Facebook, you know, live. And, yeah, I would definitely do that. If you guys, anybody out there wants me to put anything on the balloons for them, put their name and little short messages, you know, something like, hi, Marvin, or I love you, miss you, you know, something, I would definitely do that, you know. The more balloons I have, the more messages I can put on them. So that would work.
Yeah, so
yeah, that'd be
anyone that's interested in doing that, please make sure that you send Sister Ziola, you know, the $2 so that she can get the balloons and, you know, write and for her time doing it, and so that they could be released up so that she can have a whole lot of balloons going up this year.
A whole bunch. I'm going to have other people helping me to release them, to hold them all.
You know, I have to.
But it's so nice. It's so nice, and it's so spiritual to me doing that, you know.
Yeah.
Because I know he gets the message, and he hears it.
Yeah. His birthday is April 2nd?
It's April the 2nd, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the, is there a deadline for sending the $2?
Yeah, I think $2 should do it. I'd be able to get many more balloons if anybody out there want a balloon for themselves, you know. I can do a whole balloon for you. And I'm going to take pictures of it so you'll be able to see your name and your message, you know, before I release the balloon, you know. And you know, I just feel good doing it. I just feel good doing it.
Yeah.
What? There's a question that I'm really curious to know, and I hope that it's not too much. But you had spoke about your mother when she was a child coming up, and you were explaining her life and how your aunts worked in the field picking cotton and your mother worked in the house. So I'm really curious, what time period was this?
When they were teenagers or coming up, you know, growing up, a little younger than teenagers, of course, I wasn't born. You know, my mom was born in 1914, I believe. And they were all, like, coming up, you know, adolescent ages coming up. And I really didn't ask mom how old they were, you know, but my mom was very, very, very beautiful, you know, really long, pretty, gorgeous hair. And not to say my aunts weren't as pretty, you know, but the master or the, you know, they always seemed to want mom in the house to cook or take care of the kids. And mom made sure that, you know, her sisters would be taken care of, you know, and has food and stuff. But she never worked in the field. She never had to pick cotton. And this was around the time things was beginning to start changing a little. But this was in the good old days, you know. I really, Antoinette, I really can't tell you how old they were, but I'm just relaying her stories that she would tell us about.
I mean, because when I read it, I was like, okay, now, slavery was over then, you know, but you called her master, called him master.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, well, how was
you
that?
Know, you know, they lived in this. Yeah, and they lived in the South. They were raised in the South. So a lot of times things still be going on in the South that we aren't even, you know, aware of or involved in.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot, like, for instance, I was born and raised in D.C., which is predominantly Black. So I never had to deal with the racism thing, the segregation thing, you know. I didn't have to worry about people burning, you know, crosses in the yard or, you know, because it was predominantly Black. But when I moved to Atlanta in the 70s, and my girlfriends told me then how, you know, they marched and how the KKK would be in their yard burning stuff. And I'm like, really? I'm like, you was really a part of that or had that happen? They were like, yeah, you know. And, you know, I found that to be very, very interesting to me that I never had to go through that, you know. But it was happening. It was still happening.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, that's what I'm saying, a lot of times things can be going on in different places that we would probably think shouldn't be going on, but it is.
Yeah.
Or did.
Yes, that is true. That is so, so true.
Now,
okay. Now, your brother, when he got thrown at the house and when he was a teenager, 17, 18 years old, for talking back to your father regarding y'all's mother.
Right.
And he left home and joined the service.
Went in the Air Force, yes.
Yes. He couldn't deal with authorities. And that's something that I never would have thought, that he had a problem with authorities.
Oh, yes. So it's just like I told you earlier. He Gene and my sister Gene and he would clash because Gene, he couldn't take, you know, Gene telling him or running the house, you know, he barely could take it when my father did it. But when he went in the Air Force, he definitely couldn't handle it, you know, the rigidness that they had, you know. He was not having it, and he, everything that they wanted him to do, he did the opposite. So they couldn't take it any longer, so they, you know, said, you know, write a letter. He wrote this really long letter explaining how he felt about being there and how unfair he felt it was, and they just couldn't take it. So they gave him an honorable discharge, and they wanted him out. They thought, you know how that old saying, one apple spoils the whole barrel? They didn't want anything Marvin was doing rubbing off on the other guys, you know. They said, he got to go. He has to go.
And
I told Brother Ray that that's probably when he disappeared. Brother Ray said, you know, he had disappeared for a while. And he didn't know that he went into the Air Force. And I said, well, that explains why he disappeared and y'all didn't know where he was.
Didn't know. I know very few people knew. Very few people knew. But, you know, that was his escape, he thought. But it really wasn't an escape to him. It was just as bad as being around, being at home, and, you know, the strictness that was going on in my father's house. But even with love, being in the service, I don't think they showed as much love. You know, they were about, you know, you becoming a fantastic soldier, you know.
Yes. So. Yeah.
But, Ray, that's where he was. He was in the Air Force.
When he came back to D.C. After his stint with the Air Force, was it before he joined with Van McCoy, sang with them for a while? I was singing with him at the same time.
I believe it was after he came home from the Air Force. It was shortly after that when Harvey heard him singing, you know. And from there he went to Detroit.
We always say he stole him from us. Sure did. He went on up there to Detroit.
Mm-hmm. He surely did. Sometimes he and Barry would clash, you know. And he was determined to be his own man, you know.
That's right.
Do things the way he felt it should be done. And that was Marvin.
And it turned out to be right, didn't it?
And it turned out to be right, especially for him.
Absolutely. So it's for all of us. Because he never would have.
I think so, too. I mean, I'm going to put myself in that group, too.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Ask me because I think so.
Yeah.
I think so as well.
You know, he did.
It had to be the way it had to be. And everything he understood, everything that was going through. He was going through and what he was about to go through. Marvin had already planned it out. You're talking about a chess player, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about not on the chess board per se, but with life, you know. He knew where pieces are supposed to go, you know. And he was very good at that.
Yes, it seemed like, to me, one of his major downfalls was women, especially the women that he married. I know I had a friend who had, you know, talked about her mother when her mother was living when it came to her brothers. And she had said, you know, her mother used to say that she needed to mold them a woman. You know, she needs to make a woman just for them because they couldn't pick the right ones. And did you or your mother ever feel that way, that, you know, we need to pick Marvin's wife? Well, I know your mother said that she felt as though that Miss Kim was the one that he should have brought home.
Well, we fell in love with Kim when he brought Kim home. You know, I think they were performing somewhere in the city or close by or on their way to, you know, perform. And I know I was pregnant with my my first child. And we fell in love with Kim immediately. She was beautiful. She was sexy looking. And I looked up at Kim like, oh, my God, you're just so lovely. And I told Kim, I said, if I have a girl, I'm going to name her Kim right after you. She said, okay. And then I'm going to be her godmother. I said, okay. But, yeah, Mom would have loved for Marvin to have married Kim, you know. But I think Kim might have been tied up, you know. I wasn't sure she was with, you know, her guy around that time. But I was too young to say I should have picked Marvin, you know, wife or whatever. So I didn't get involved. Our whole thing is we wanted him to be happy. But the two that he picked, they made him happy sometimes, and then they made him miserable a lot of times, you know.
Yeah. Especially the last one.
Oh, my gosh. I try not to talk about her. To this day, I know she still has a great hate for me, why I really couldn't tell you, you know, and I really, you know, had to let that go. I had to go on with my life. And I wish her well, of course. I write about it, and I told her, you know, a few times we talked, and I said, she said, I'm doing the book, and you're not going to be happy with what I write. I said, well, you're not going to be happy about what I wrote. But, you know, I stand behind everything I wrote. There's no lying in there. There's no exaggerating the truth. You know, I wrote it just as things happened, you know. And that's basically it. And like I said, that's why I wrote it. I really don't even like talking about her, you know. But I wish her well. I love her, but, you know, from a distance.
Yes, can I bring one thing up, a question? When she said about you using the gay name, and it's your name, it's your family name.
Yeah, and wasn't that something?
How does she expect that they came to it, especially since they were divorced anyway? They were divorced when your brother died. So,
totally.
And it's your name by birth.
Yeah, and the bottom line, which, you know, I wrote it, I was born.
Yeah.
I was born a gay. Gay will always be my name. You were born as your maiden name. You married a gay, but you wasn't born a gay. There's no way in heck that you can stop me from calling being a gay, you know.
Right.
It's almost like, did somebody lose their mind around here or what? You know, how are you going to tell me you're going to stop me from using my name? You know, no way.
Yeah.
That really shocked me when she said that, you know, but.
I don't understand that, you know, like, that doesn't make any sense.
It didn't make any sense. But, you know, sometimes we say and do things that, you know, don't make sense.
Yeah, that is so true. That is so true. Other question regarding her, regarding that family, her family. Your brother has said, Marvin has said that when he talked about her mother, that they took men, black men, you know, as if it was something that they had to fight against or to beat black men down, and they would take them and ruin them, and that's what you just suggested your brother had got arrested. And it reminded me Kardashian girls. Do you see how that could tie in, or
you know, that your brother would say, oh, they're just like his ex-wife was?
Well, it's kind of hard for me to say what Marvin actually would say, you know, comparing to the Kardashians. You know, he had his feelings about things, and he wrote the letter that I put in the book, and that was his wishes. You know, if anybody do anything on me, I want this, you know, you can see it where he wrote it. You know, I want this published. So I just kind of go by that. But, you know, again, it's like I try to be, I'm on a more positive note these days, Antoinette. And, you know, when I think back at those things that went on and things that were said that shouldn't have been said, that were very hurtful, I had to let all that go. And like I said, I will be there if I'm needed and it's on the up and up, I will be there. I'll be there. I'm just that kind of person, you know. And I'll always have that in my heart. And that's something that I acquired from my mom, to love. You know, I don't have to like things that you do and say, but I have to love you, you know.
And I do. Yes, well, we love you as well.
Amen.
And
you know
the world loves you.
So it's nice to be loved.
Yes, it
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially when it's true.
Absolutely.
When it's true love, it's not
not fake, right, you know. I don't have time for the fakeness. If you're not for real, I don't have to be around you. You don't have to be around me.
Were you able to go?
Not his first concert, because I'm still a teenager. I'm still home, and I wasn't on the road with Marvin when he was doing his first concerts and stuff, when he was with the Motown Review, and, you know, they did all the cities and states, you know, together. I wasn't there for that. My major concert that he did that I'll never forget as long as I live was when he did What's Going On in D.C. And he did the whole album, his first time doing the whole album from cover to cover. And it was mesmerizing to be there to see that. That's when I'm like, wow, that's my brother. You know, I was totally blown away, you know, and I had never seen him like that before. Of course, I have seen him in plays and school stuff, you know, that he would do and singing, you know, solo in the church, but never anything close to what I experienced when he did What's Going On at the Kennedy Center. It was just unbelievable. And that's when Marvin Gaye, my brother, became Marvin Gaye to me too. You know, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, he's still my brother, I saw Marvin Gaye. Yeah, the artist, you know.
Now, when he went to Motown, is that when he started dabbling in the drugs and everything?
I'm sure. He told me, basically, because they were in the studio a lot, and I won't call his name, who introduced them to cocaine. They were telling him, man, try this. You know, you'll be able to stay awake and stay up, and it's going to make you feel really creative. And tried it, and he liked it, and that was like the beginning. But yes, he was in Detroit when he first started doing cocaine.
Yeah. Because before it was just marijuana.
I think, he always smoked weed, you know, but he didn't dabble in cocaine until he was, you know, in Detroit, and only snorting it then, you know.
Yeah. But now,
one leads to the other.
Your brothers were the ones that gave you your first joint you ever wrote.
yeah, yeah. did, and I coughed. And really, the first one to, you know, let me try doing cocaine too, you know. It was almost like, if you're going to do it around us. Do it around me. I got you. I know nothing's going to happen to you, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and it made me feel comfortable. And I hated it when I first tried it, you know. I couldn't take the bitterness. It was like, oh, this. But as time went on, I eventually grew to like it, you know. And one thing led to another, you know. So, like, I wrote about it, you know. I needed help, you know. So I reached out. And believe it or not, you know, his last wife was the one who helped me. So I have to give her that. She basically saved my life, you know, to me.
Yeah.
And she put me in rehab. And because I was really crying out for help. I wanted to be helped. I wanted to be away from drugs. And I didn't know how to go about it. And she suggested, you know, Z, let me do this. And she made sure that I was in one of the best rehab centers in California, which is called Promises. And I will always love her for that. That's why I said, you know, I might not like some of the things, but I'll always love her, you know. That's just how it is. And I contribute my sobriety to this day to her, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, and that's really good, you know. I mean, because you went through a lot, you know.
Yeah.
All of y'all went through a lot, and so
we did. That's why, you know, I'm telling your audience, you know, if there are things you need to know, because I don't hold back, and I tell on everybody. Everybody say, oh, I'm glad I didn't know you then, Ziola, because you would have told on me. I said, yep. But I told on myself, too. I think that's the beauty of my book, you know. I tell on everybody, but I told on me, too, you know.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't an angel, you know, either, you know. And I did things that I regret doing. But you know what? All the things that I went through and experienced and have done in life, they taught me to be the woman that I am today. And I'm very happy with me today. You know, like I said, I think as we get older, I became my mom. You know?
Yeah. And that's something
and
how
I'm
I think we all end
still,
up like that. No.
And I'm still sober to this day.
Yeah.
And that was back in 2002 when I went into rehab.
So,
I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, it's something when we're younger, you know, it's like, I don't want to be nothing like my mother. I'm not going to be nothing like her, not at all. And then we get older, and one day it's just, that's, you know,
it's
the
like
shock when you look in the mirror and you're like, wait a minute, I see my mother. And
absolutely.
You start seeing your actions becoming more like her. You're like, how did this happen? You know?
I don't know. Well,
no,
I love being like my mom, because, like I said, my mom was the bomb.
Oh, I do now,
the absolute bomb, you know.
Yeah, that's
and,
what I feel about my mother, and
kept
I miss
me on
her
my
so television. Much. But,
right.
Yeah. And
well,
it's something how we can change to them. I'm sorry,
right.
Brother Ray.
Yeah, I'll never forget your mother. She sort of took to me when I first came to your house. We had a little rehearsal in the basement, I believe it was. And she just took to me. And, you know, Marvin used to call me Little Lord Fauntleroy. And, because I wouldn't do those things they were doing. I'd just say, oh, no, I got to get out of here.
Right.
And that's that whole group that we came up with, you know. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I was straight up and down.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good. A lot of people can't say that, you know.
I'm
happy for anybody who never experienced that, any of that, you know, didn't go through that, you know. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing.
I'm not sure I could have handled it. That's the good thing. I said, oh, no. You know,
right.
But your mother had a great influence on me, and
well, I'm glad.
Yeah, well, she did. She had a great influence on me, and I appreciated her so much. And Marvin,
thank
as well.
You for her. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
as well. And I didn't know the last time I saw Marvin, he was here in Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and went to see him. And he, there you go, little Lord Fauntleroy, and I hadn't seen him for years. And I was kind of surprised. And he said that he was having a problem, that some people were trying to hurt him and to ask me to help him. But he knew that Dick Gregory and I were very close. And
right.
I told him, I'm going to call Dick and we're going to get on the case. And whoever the people were that were his management or his road manager, whoever it was, would not let us get back up there to see him. You know, and I thought about that.
Did you see me then? Because I was on the road with him when we were in Fort Lauderdale and things were going on, you know, that I had to take care of also with for him, with Dick Gregory also. So,
right.
Did you see me? You didn't see me, huh?
I don't recall seeing you at that particular time, but I had seen you on other occasions. But you didn't know me. You didn't know me. But Marvin had done my brother's first fundraiser there in Washington, and you know, that's what kind of endeared me to him, because he cared enough to reach back to the hometown and help out. You know,
right.
So he had that civic responsibility.
Okay.
So I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm
glad
you got a chance. Yeah. I'm glad you got a chance to, you know, be around him and experience him, you know. I think it's very special, anybody who got a chance to be around him, because he was amazing. He was just an amazing man, you know, human being, very loving and straight. And Dick Gregory used to always tell us, you know, y'all must have some other kind of blood and y'all some white blood, because y'all are two truthful people. Y'all tell the truth all the time. And Dick Greg would have me cracking up all the time. Said, y'all are so truthful.
Well, Dick Gregory was like y'all's doctor. Y'all called him for everything.
He was. He made me a vegetarian for at least a year, and my kids was not happy about that, because I had taken everything out the house that had sugar in it, and even down to the toothpaste. I got the toothpaste that you get at the health food store. You know, Greg had me, you know, it's like, no, I want you to do this. And my kids were so glad when I finally started eating sugar again around the house. Like, oh, boy. No more honey. But now they appreciate it. But then they did not. You know, but he would have me fasting. And, you know, I did the 7-day fast with just water and lemon and honey. And, boy, I didn't think I could do that. But, you know, Greg was there. He was talking me through it, you know. He was a phenomenal person, too.
Yeah, he's a person that
missed him a lot.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. The relationship between your father and your brother started when they were young over your mother.
You said did it start when they were young?
Father and your mother, when your brother was young.
You know, things started going awry with my father and my brother when Marvin got involved with, you know, with my father and my mother having words with each other, and Marvin would jump in it. And that was like the beginning, you know. So, and it kind of just escalated from that point on. You know, Marvin was always very protective of Mom, and he did not want my father was never physically abusive to my mom, but verbally. You know,
yeah,
he could cut you up with some words, and he never even cursed. it was amazing. And Marvin just didn't like the way he would talk to Mom, you know. And that kind of just started things. And then as time went on, Marvin became famous and, you know, making money. And like I wrote in the book, money breeds power, you know. Marvin became like the head of the house, the family, as opposed to my father. And there was jealousy there, you know. Like I said, I write about it. If you guys, anybody really want to know the whole thing, it's hard just me skipping around like this. But if you read the book, you'll get the full picture, you know.
Yeah.
But basically, that's the gist of it on you know, at the top. You know, a lot of jealousy and power, addiction. My father was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Marvin was on drugs. So, you know, they clashed, you know, so...
Yeah.
Where do you get the book? How do we get the book?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you can get the book on Amazon. And if you get the book and if you want me to autograph it, you have to write a note. They have space where you can, you know, if you want to say something to me, you can say, I would like this to be autographed. And my assistant reads all the emails that come in from Amazon, and I make sure that they sign, you know, if I have to, you know, do it from home. If people really want it personally sent autographed, then they'll let me know and I will do that. And then I'll have it mailed out to you or shipped out to you. And that's on Amazon. And the book is called My Brother Marvin, Memoir by Ziola Gay.
All right.
And it's fascinating, honestly and truly. You feel like you're there. That, you know, that you,
yeah, you take my journey.
Yeah, you know, it's just all right in front of you, even down to the end.
Well, thank you.
You know, but even when you talk
and
about
that
how,
was my purpose. This is what I wanted to happen. I want you to feel like you're right there with me, and I'm telling you the story, just you personally, you know.
Yeah.
And just like, come walk with me. You know how they always say, walk a mile in my shoes? You know.
Yeah.
I want you to walk with me in my shoes. I want you to feel what I felt and experience what I experienced. You know, that was my purpose of writing my book, and like I said, to set the record straight on a lot of things that people have stated and said that were not true. And I needed people to understand my father. If you read how what he had gone through, his life, and the way he was raised, a lot of times people don't realize, a lot of times the way you were raised has a lot to do with how you are in your life. You know, when you become an adult. And I want people to know that. I want people to read about it and then make your decision, because a lot of people who don't know, you know, they hate them, you know. And you still might hate them after you read my book, but at least you'll know what motivated him to do some of the things he did and the way he raised us, you know. So, you know, my book to me, like I said, it was... a lot of therapy for me. A lot of things I needed to release, you know. And in hopes that people will understand and look at things a little different.
Yeah. Well, before I let the callers in, would you like to go through your brother's last days? Because it was a point that led up.
No, I really don't want to.
Okay.
I'd rather for you to read it. Because I, it's there, you know. If I don't have to talk about it, I don't. You know, it's like yesterday to me, you know. And
yes, I can understand that.
I'd rather for you to read it. Yeah.
So you want me to read it on the air, or you want people to read it later?
I want them to read it, because if you read it to them on air, they won't go buy the book.
Yeah.
Well, that's
they need to have their own book so they can read it and put it up on the shelf, come back, read it again. If you miss something, you know, that's how I would like for that to go, you know.
Okay.
I think we told a lot that they could get from the book, you know.
Yeah.
I have
I would
two
like
questions.
To read it, so. Sure.
Yeah, I have two questions for you, Z.
Okay.
One, how is Marvin's children doing? How is is it Nona?
Uh-huh, Nona.
Marvin Jr.?
Marvin the third.
Yeah.
My brother was junior, so Marvin's the third. I pray that they all are doing well. I don't correspond, you know, they don't correspond with me for whatever reason, but my love is there for them. I'm here for them. My number never changed. And if they want to reach out and talk, I'm definitely here for them. And I just pray, when I pray, say my prayers every day, they're in my prayers, that they're well
Amen.
And healthy, you know.
Yeah, that's your mama in you.
Yeah. I'm glad.
Yes,
I'm glad because I can remember a time I wouldn't even, I probably, okay, I don't know, you know, but no, I'm serious. They're my blood, you know, and I love them. I'll always love them because they'll always be my blood.
That's right. The other thing that I just wanted to say, when he would come to D.C. after he became Marvin Gaye, he'd call, and we would go over to Haynes Point. I would carry my son with me. This one particular time, I had three sons at the time. But I would carry my son with me, and we'd play catch. But I didn't know, he didn't tell us that he was trying out for the Detroit Lions. And that kind of blew my mind after I found out that he was trying out for them. But that's just some of the humanity of Marvin. He did life, man. I mean,
right.
Who would come
there
home,
was nothing Marvin
home.
Thought. Yeah, it was nothing he thought he couldn't do, and that was on his bucket list to become a Detroit Lion. And they told him, they let him go to the training camp, and the coach said, you know, I tell you what, Marvin, you do what you do best. Sing, make records, and I'll take care of this. So he became very close with a lot of the players and stuff. That's how Lynn Barney and Mel Farr, you know, was able to do what's going on, you know, doing the talking part, you know. They were very close friends, very close. But, I felt the same way, Ray. And then not only that, he tried the box, you know.
Oh, I didn't.
He wanted to become a boxer.
Well, I knew he could handle himself, but I didn't know he could box.
But it was hard. That was hard watching him box. They only went like three rounds. I would go to the gymnasium where they would have like exhibitions, and I'm sitting next to Smokey, and you know Marvin would get hit. I'm like, oh my God, I can't take it. I can't look at this, you know. And they would be so out of breath, and most of the time it'd be a draw. He never got beat up. Maybe it'd be a draw, maybe sometimes he'll win, you know, a draw or a win, because he wanted to win at everything. He wanted to be the best of at everything that he did. And I love that about him.
Sister Z, I have to ask you, now, you dated Muhammad Ali.
I did. I did, and that was some good times. I used to go to the training camp in Rose Hill. Is that my son? Oh, no. Yeah, yes. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And I would, you know, we would hang out, go to dinner a lot, and when Marvin gave me the surprise birthday party, you know, Ali and I would just, you know, hang around in the corner and stuff. It was very interesting time. I dated him for maybe 8 months at the most, and then he got married and married Veronica. And he took me over. He took me over her house, and I met her, and they were courting then, and I guess maybe engaged, maybe, which I didn't really know, you know, until he told me, you know, around that time. Didn't go to the wedding, though.
Oh, well, that would have
And we stayed friends after that, you know.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. And so that was good. Now, is there anything that you want to tell us about your brothers, you know, about both of them, you know, about your brothers that you think that we should know, that we, you know, don't know? Is there any words that you would like for us to know?
I think just from me talking now, because like I said, everything that I feel and felt is definitely in my book about my family. That includes all my brothers. That includes my sister. That includes my father and my mother. Just for me right now, I just have to say I had the best brothers who loved me. They watched over me. They taught me. They, you know, made sure I was good, you know. Only thing I say, they love their baby sister. They love me. And I miss them, and I miss them so, so very much, you know. And like I said from the beginning of this, I think I had the best brother and sister than anybody could ever have. And you guys get the book and read about my family, read about my life, because my life includes my mother, my father, my brothers, and my sister. That was my life.
Yes. And a phenomenal life it is.
Yeah. And don't forget, guys, if you want to, you know, be part of the balloon release, you know, hit me up, and you can even write, you know, Cash App will let you write what you're sending, the $2 or whatever you're sending for, and you can put on there what you want me to say. And my Cash App is, again, is the $ ZEEGAYEE, okay? And that's for April the 2nd.
Yeah, it's on his birthday.
On his birthday.
And how old would he be?
Okay, he's 6 years older than me. He would have been 82.
82.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I'm not going to get 82 balloons, though.
and still
well,
looking good and sounding.
I probably wouldn't be able to get all of them in the house.
Now, I'm going to do the song that you sang with him, where you were the background. Got to Give It Up.
Got to Give It Up. Yeah.
I'm going to play that. I'm going to play that now so that we can hear you and your brother.
Okay.
So y'all remember that Sister Zayla, she was the one that was the party.
Making
she
all
was the party,
party
background, the club.
Yeah, party.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
so,
you guys, you know, stay safe out there. Be careful. Just be safe and be loving and smile. Make somebody happy.
Okay, now, let me do that for you now.
Okay. All righty.
I'm
Okay, Sister Z. Now I know I know your brother put a lot of him into everything that he sang, and you could hear it through his music that, you know, that it was really a part of him. And when he did A Stubborn Kind of Fellow, was that about himself?
No. Well, you know what? It could have been. But I think when he sang the song, whoever wrote I forgot who wrote the song. I know he didn't write it. It just fit, you know. But a lot of things that was said, the lyrics definitely could fit him. I tell you that.
Yeah,
much.
I was thinking about his respect for authority. You know that made him, you know, stubborn. That, you know.
Yeah, and that's one said it could fit him. It definitely could fit him. Yeah.
Yes, and also now the song that is still so prevalent today and fits today, What's Going On.
Uh-huh.
And I know that basically came from your brother Frankie, from when he came back from Vietnam.
Well, it inspired Marvin to, write What's Going On. The song's Brother, Brother was basically written for Frankie. But he was definitely led to, as he would always say, he was led to do What's Going On and to write the lyrics that he wrote and to sing the lyrics he wrote. You know, he felt that he was a vessel, that God was using him as a vessel to spread that to mankind, you know.
Yeah.
That maybe they would listen and, you know, change some things around, you know, because, you know, our country was in a really bad shape around that time and as it is now.
Yeah.
So
as
he felt that
song
he did what he had to do. Yeah. But yeah, Frankie inspired him to do a lot of that. Just because Frankie was in Vietnam at the time when Marvin wrote that.
Yeah. Wow. Do you have time to take some questions and comments?
Maybe just a few more minutes. I can take a couple.
Okay, I'm going to open the lines. Please make your questions brief and just one question or a brief statement. Okay, area code 336. Area code 336.
Greetings, Sister Antoinette.
Yes, hello, Sister Paris.
How are you? And greetings to your marvelous guest. Y'all, I'm tired.
Thank you.
That took me back. I got up on my crutches. I'm going to have to get somebody to do a video and post that one on Facebook behind your brother's song. Boy, that took me back to all the bases from coast to coast. When I walk in the house and the door, they say, oh, my God, here comes Big Red. And I had the whole club dancing off of those songs with the line dance. You remember that?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. You took me back. I can't hardly move, y'all.
Just be glad you didn't have to dance to that like 3 or 4 times in a row.
Oh, my God. But I wanted to say to you, my dear sister, nobody knows what we go through, our parents, and why they govern us the way that they do, unless we understand and overstand their upbringing. And the most important thing is family, people listening now and later on, you got to forgive your parents.
Whew, yeah.
No matter what they did to you, if they shot you, if they beat you, if they molested you, or they did anything, they did not know any better or couldn't control. And you have got to forgive because you ask for these people to come through their gateway. I do know that. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your book.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for the kind words.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thank you. If anybody else has a question or comment, you have to get it in quickly before Sister Z leaves us. Okay, well, I guess everybody's being quiet. You must have them full tonight.
Well, it's been my pleasure to be on with you, you and Ray Antoinette, and thank you for having me. And
thank you for coming.
You had to reach out to me if you need me, okay, baby?
Yes, and I'm going to play this one for you, okay?
Okay, all right.
Whether or not we know it, and he'll forgive all our sins.
He'll forgive our sins.
Oh, yeah. And all he asks of us, oh, yeah, is we give each other love. Oh, yeah. Love your mother.
She bore you.
Love your father.
It worked for you.
Love your sister.
Good to you.
Love your brother.
Love
your brother.
On the ocean and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. All things ain't what they used to be. No more radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby by the night. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more will you from man? Can't you stand?
Sister Zayla, you
thank you. That was beautiful.
Yes, okay. It was. We have to take this one. Okay. Miss Kim?
Oh, that was beautiful, you all. Can you hear me?
Yes,
hi,
we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
Hi, Kim.
Thank you so much for coming on the show and meeting the family. And I know they love
you. Oh, absolutely.
God bless you.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Antoinette, by the way.
And I love you.
I love you so much. As you say, I love you more, but you can't say that. You don't know that.
You better.
Oh, we love you, Miss Kim.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Yes. Miss Kim?
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Ray, do you have anything else that you would like to add?
Oh, boy, I was just saying, thank you so much, Zayla. And if you need for anything that we can do, that I can do, don't hesitate to call. I think you have my number. Just call me if you need me.
Okay,
yeah.
Ray,
and,
thank you.
Yeah, you're out there.
Let us know about the drumbeat.
Yes.
Let me also know about the drumbeat.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
the drum. I didn't mention it. We have a drumbeat coalition that's using the drum that our ancestors used to communicate with one another. And we figure that in the days that we're in now, we need God to help us get through this attack. So we call on the drumbeat, the drum that our ancestors used to talk to each other and to talk to God. So it works. It's been working. We started it in last February, and it has gone around the country and around the world. At 3 o'clock every Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are drumming and praying. We're praying for divine intervention because a lot of things are going on that we do not understand, but God knows all things. And
absolutely.
Sister Kim is our matriarch. She's the head of the Drumbeat Coalition, and we ask her to introduce Lift Every Voice and Sing. And we're doing that around the world as we speak, Zayla. They're drumming in on the east coast of west coast of Africa, the east coast of Africa, South Africa, in Australia, and in Central South America. The people who understand drumming and what it means are drumming and praying. So I just want to mention that to you. Yeah.
Well, thank you for letting me know about that.
Yeah, we got some people there in Las Vegas as well who are drumming and who are with us on this issue.
Okay, cool. I'll stay in
touch,
and you guys can send me some literature on it, or Kim can, you know, so I can keep up with it, okay?
We will definitely do that.
Okay. Yes. Well, all you guys got my number. Call me anytime you want to, you know, want to reach out. I'm here. And again, I thank you, you know, for having me on. It was my pleasure to do this, and I hope I made you guys happy.
You. Yes, and don't forget your Sister Joan, give out your Cash App again, please, so that everyone can do the blooms. Because we want to make sure the things go well.
Okay, that'd be great. Is the $ Z E E G A Y E E. And you can also, you guys, you know, can also go on my website and leave me a message, or if you want to say something to me, which is ZaylaGay.com. And, of course, I'm on Facebook and Instagram under Zayla Gay.
Okay. Now, your Cash App again is ZeeGaye.
No.
At Cash App.
GAYEE. Two E's. Two E's behind and Gay and two E's behind the Z.
Okay.
ZeeGaye.
Okay, y'all, so we want to make sure that, you know, we get the balloons up, leave your message, you know, on the Cash App, you know, put the message that you would like for the balloons, to, what you want to be written on the balloons. And if no one has any questions or comments, we're going to let our dear sister go.
And get the book. Get the book on Amazon.
Definitely get the book. Okay.
Yes, the book is excellent. It is truly excellent. And honestly, you feel like you were right there, and she tells everything, you know, from the time that she was born, you know, up until the end. I mean, so it's really something that, you know, if you are a true Marvin Gaye fan, you truly want this book to have in your collection.
Well, thank you, Antoinette.
No, I mean, I really found the book fascinating. You know, as I said, I felt like I was there. Now I could picture everything.
Oh, good.
You know,
thank you.
The cars and the houses and, you know, just everything. Gone, you know, being in Europe and in Switzerland and, you know, being on the stage and singing. And, you know, even when you wrote about you and your brother being in New York, and he took off his coat and gave it to a homeless person and gave him $100.
Yeah, he did like, that. Wow. That was Marvin.
Yes. And
that
how he helped with, yes, and how he helped, you know, Famous Amos, you know, to become Famous Amos with his cookies. And you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah,
so
you'll learn a lot of things that you didn't know. So,
yeah.
I can't wait to get the book. Order tonight.
Yeah,
yeah,
Ray, you gotta get the book.
Yes, you do. Yeah, I know.
I want you all to have. I want you to have your own copy. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's,
okay.
It's a nice picture on there. It has Sister Zila on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, you also see handwritten notes from her brother, and you'll see pictures that are nowhere else. Because they
give it all away,
her collection. Pardon me?
Don't give it all away.
I don't know. I'm not.
Well, hopefully everything she's saying will make everybody curious enough to want to get the book and say, oh, let me see what Antoinette was talking about.
Absolutely.
But cool. It's cool.
I mean, but you see actual handwritten notes from him that, you know, is in the book.
Yeah, that he actually wrote.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, get to see his handwriting and, you know, and
his thoughts.
And then, you know, just things that he did that just didn't know that he did that. And how he felt about, you know, different things and, you know, and how Sister Zell felt about, you know, different things. And, you know, it's just really an excellent book.
Well, thank you, sweetie.
It really is. It's something that, you know, I really encourage everyone to, you know, to really get. We have a question that someone would like to know. They said you should have his music catalog if you are his heir, but he has children and you don't have his catalog, right, Sister Z?
No, I'm not an heir. I'm a sibling. It's a big difference with that. He had children. They're his heirs, and they're the one who has the catalog, and, you know, things went to them, not the sister, and don't go to siblings.
Yes. Now, your niece's daughter, she is a singer as well. She was a model when she was an actress. She was on a television show, was she not?
Yeah, Nona was an actress, and she did a lot of great, great films. And she did some modeling, and she's very talented. She even made a couple of records and stuff. So, yeah, she took after her dad, and she's beautiful. She looks just like her brother, her father, her brother, my brother. So,
yeah, she does. From the pictures that I've seen of her, she looks like him. And, you know, and they said now she's retired from modeling.
Well, like I said, I'm not really in contact with, you know, so I don't know. I'm just going by when I was there, you know. I know she she was doing a lot of acting, and she's always been very beautiful, and she still is.
Yes. Yes, she's very pretty young lady. Yeah. And your daughter Kim is as well. That's named after our Miss Kim.
Yeah, my Kim and my other daughter's name, Monique. So I have two girls and one grandson.
Yeah. And that's nice. And grandchildren are just so special. Yeah. Well, again,
okay, well,
I like
if nobody
to
else has anything, I'm going to run. It's 8 o'clock here, and there's some other calls I need to make. But I appreciate the time, and I appreciate being on the air with you guys. I love it.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, and you have to come back again.
Welcome.
You have to come back again when everyone gets the book.
If you have me, I'll come back. Okay.
When you started to do the balloons on his birthday, you know, if you like to also have it where we can be on the show and, you know, hear you or, you know, and watch you too on Facebook, but, you know, you can get live inputs from us.
Yeah, I'll work it out.
Yeah.
I'll work it out. Okay.
Okay.
And like
well,
I said,
you
guys, be safe out there, and I send much love to all of you guys.
Well, you too. You too, and give your family my love. Give your daughter my love and my prayers.
Okay.
Okay, you take care, and
okay.
Thank you for being with us again.
You're more than welcome. Good night, Kim. Love you more.
I love you.
Okay.
You take care. My love to the girls, too.
Hey, y'all. Well, that was fascinating to hear her story. You really have to get the book. You really and truly do. Okay, so she's no longer with us. Does anyone have anything that they like to add now? Anything you would like to ask or say? Ms. Kim and Brother Ray? Okay, wait a minute. We have a caller. Erica 404.
Yeah, I just want to say what's up, family. And Anthony, you good there. You'll find, you might find Jesus there. You find, you be digging up everybody. Huh? You going to find Jesus.
I already got Jesus.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. Perfect answer. I just want to say, Miss Kim, how you be, Miss Kim?
I'm blessed, darling. I'm blessed.
Okay, you got to take care. You got to take care yet?
No, I'm working on it, though, okay?
I hear you, because I don't have to send some soldiers out for them devils now. I'm trying to talk up some stuff now. I got to find, she know Jesus, but I know the Most High. I know Jesus' Father. That's who I roll with.
Hey, I know him, too.
And I know how to talk him up and make things happen.
I know how to talk him up, too, but you go right on ahead. I'm glad you know how.
That's right. Y'all can do it, too.
That's right.
You can do it, too. I start studying. But anyway, I don't want to take up too long. Brother Ray, did you talk to the people in Nigeria?
No, I haven't spoken with them yet. I did call them the other day. They haven't called back. And they will. Matter of fact, I'll get them on Antoinette's show as well.
Because it's time for us to do our own stuff. We need to, they need to send some folks over there to get their own folks, man, instead of acting the damn, being pitiful. Okay? If that was my folks over there, I'd send somebody to go get them an airplane or something, man. You know, we got the power, man.
But you got to remember, this is a war. And once we organize ourselves and come together, we'll be able to deal with this thing. If they go, we go. In other words, they don't go alone.
Right on.
But I think what we're doing now is going to wake a lot of people just simply dealing with this electricity, and then they're going to open their eyes to all the other stuff that's going on that these people are stealing from us, and collectively we'll get it back.
Yeah, because I saw some people trying to steal my money, man. Retirement money, man. They've been stealing our money, so I'm about
That's
to.
Right.
These devils is something, man. These devils is something, man.
Yeah, they are.
Yes, they are.
Make no mistake. Make no mistake, my brother. This is spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but the evil is upon us, and we got to stop them.
Most definitely, man. Right now, man, when I just think about this situation, man. But, yeah, the whole thing is I found out what happened January 31st. America couldn't pay their debt, man. Okay, that's why they had to come up with the wall. January 31st, they couldn't pay their debt. So that's why they had to come up with the wall. America's broke, man, okay? So if y'all got some money somewhere in retirement, try to get your money, man. America's done. Ain't nobody in D.C. hollering, man. Okay? I just let y'all know America is done. God dealing with America. They don't want to let y'all know what's really happening behind the scenes. Okay? So it's a beautiful time to be alive, man.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
We're going to go through.
We have another caller. Area code 706.
Well, good evening, Sister Antoinette, and good evening to Miss Kim Weston. Love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And Brother Ray, and Brother West.
Yes, sir.
But Antoinette, I've been listening and listening, and you never gave a name. You always said the book, but you never gave a name.
Yes, I did. I'll give it to you again. It's My Brother Marvin, a memoir by
My Brother Marvin.
Yes.
All right, because I've been listening. I said, okay, she's going to get the name of it, and I never heard the name. I just heard the book.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I gave it probably like in the beginning.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now
I
but it's
My Brother Marvin.
It's a fantastic book. It is truly a fantastic. Yeah, you're going to love it, Brother Farman. Truly.
So what we got to do now, Brother West, you're going to have to get the printing press ready. You got to get my grateful goddess of Motown, Miss Kim Weston, and the chauffeur extraordinaire, Ray Fauntleroy.
Yes, sir. Brother Ray was with Van McCoy. Wasn't you singing on the hustle, Brother Ray? Wasn't that you? Do the hustle?
No.
You was on that song, Brother Ray?
No, I wasn't on the hustle, but I was with him when he wrote it. I was with him the night he wrote it. And we all came up together, you know, Van and Marvin, and we all came up together. And, of course, the greatness of those two split us apart, and both of them became great. And with their music. So, I was on a couple of their records.
Yeah, but see, Brother Ray's story of getting Dr. King to the airport in his Mustang is the name of his book.
Yeah.
Brother Ray got a whole bunch of stories. He got a whole bunch of stories, man. I'm telling y'all, man. He's deep.
Yes, he is. He truly is.
But this is what we've been listening to because thanks to Sister Antoinette, we have both Miss Kim Weston's story and Brother Ray's story recorded, but someone needs to put it on pages. And this is where what Marvin's sister did, you know, and being able to put that into writing, like you said, the little notes and the things that people don't get to know, you know, what really was his life as a boy and as a family man and the whole part of that as part of the family.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Not to bust your bubble, man, but you feel a void, do it, man. I think of black people talking about we need to. If it was a void, jump out there and do it. That's the way I see it,
man. That's right. That's right. Good luck. Time for talk is over. That tank's at the corner now.
Yes, sir. Because if I feel something I need to do, I don't say we need to. I say I'm getting ready to make an app.
And it's just getting the publisher, I mean, getting the writers to write it from their words, from their dictation, and then put it in into publication. Because, you know, what she said on Antoinette's show, what Brother Ray said on there, plus the conversations we've just had with them personally on our own time. And this is what needs to be, all of it needs to be disseminated. And then a person sitting down with Miss Kim for however long it takes, because, you know, she got some stories to tell. She can come from black bone to black top.
Yeah.
When they stole that man, when they got that man cow, they were trying to get that cow back, and y'all wouldn't let that cow go. Miss Kim, I remember that story.
All right, family.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Kwame, I'm doing exactly as you have suggested. I do have a writer, and I have recorded my book so far, and they're doing it. They're putting it together as we speak. So, and it's a lot. It's a lot in there because I covered a lot. I'm waiting now for my bio to come back from the writers who have written up the bio. And once they've written it up, we're going to start sending it out and, getting people to understand my history and what it means to us as a people. So it's work. It's in the works. We just got to keep working it. We got to push this drum call. We got to push this drum call because there's so much. There's so much that has happened as a result of it. On the drum call that we're not even discussing.
I just had a thought about what you call it when you say the drum call. And the drum call is calling to the attention of your brother, the Tuskegee Airmen, Miss Kim, and her time with Motown, your time with Dr. King and the organizations that you were a part of, and getting together with those elders that were a part of our story and hear the drum call, hear what the drum, you know, this was a call and they heard the drum. Like Thoreau said, they heard a different drummer, and this is their story about the drum. They were called to do what they did.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just when he kept saying the drum call, and we're talking about a book, but look at all of those ones that were called by the drum, their own heartbeat, your heartbeat of organizing and doing what you did, Miss Kim's heartbeat to sing the songs that were only given and gifted by her voice that God gave. So what we're doing, and then your brother being able to fly, the youngest of the Tuskegee Airmen, but be able to fly with the Red Tails. Each one had a drum call, and that's their story.
Well, you know, I also have a brother who's a United States congressman for over 20 years.
Right. So all of that is a drum call. So each chapter in that drum call, it could be a set of books, that the drum call for Kim Weston, the drum call for Ray Fauntleroy, the drum call for your brother, the congressman. And so each one had a drum call, and that's the story that would be persistent. What did that call?
Hey, Brother Ray, let me ask you something. Did your brother see anything up there when he was flying that? Did he see that, folks? I've been asked you that.
No, he never mentioned anything like that. But he wasn't in Europe, so he did his flying on this end, and then I guess in Japan, I'm not sure. But no, he never mentioned anything like that.
Did I send you the American Airlines pilots the January 2021 that they just not showing that they were following this spear that came over them when they were flying to Arizona, I think. And they just put
it
out.
I'll
send it to you.
Okay, appreciate it, brother, because I love that, man. I love that, bro. That's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm trying to get to, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that wall is a whole force, man, a whole force. But because what it is, Ukraine's still a part of Russia, so really Russia just cleaning up, man, getting all them devils out of there. Okay, that's why dude trying to get want to join NATO. NATO and the European Union, they still part of Russia, so Russia got a right to go and police them folk, man, to get them devils out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. They're here too. They're here in this government as well. So we gotta, we gotta. Yes, they're right here, in control. You look at your election.
And the beautiful thing is, they know their time is up, so they boxed the universe, the Most High, got them boxed in the corner now, man. They 6,000-year rule is up. The whole deal. Everything they doing is covering the truth, covering out on everything to everybody. Me, you, everybody now. We in the day of judgment, man. So if you right, the Most High God with you. If you wrong, your ass is on your own and you'll be found out, good or bad. So and you got to try to stay in the plus column, man. All you got to do is get by yourself and ask the people, say your name, and ask them if you in the plus or minus column. They'll tell you. You get answered in 24 hours, man. That's how to do it. That's how you call up the cosmic records, man. You get by yourself and say, my name so-and-so. They already know your name anyway. And you want to find out if you're in the plus column or the minus column. Within 24 hours, you will get your answer. I know that's a little deep for y'all, but that's how to do it.
Well, I'm going to do it tonight.
And I guarantee you, just about everybody on this line in the plus column, man. I'm already telling y'all that, but y'all got to find out for yourself. But that's how to do it, man. You call up the Cosmic Records, call, go somewhere by yourself, and say, my name so-and-so, and I want to know my status. I'm in the plus or minus, and within 24 hours, you get your answer. And it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful time right here. I love it, man. I wouldn't be one born in no other time but this. When I see the end coming, the new world coming, the reset.
Now, you said call up who?
Just call up, it's called the Akashic Records, but just call, you say you want you to know your record, man, your scope. And when you, by the time you get that thought out there, they'll know what you talk about anyway, man, the way things work now.
Yeah, are you familiar with Dr. I.L. Henderson?
The name sounds familiar, but tell me a little bit more about it.
Well, he has the Universal World Court.
Mm-hmm.
He's a judge on the Universal World Court. Ad hoc judge, I think is the title. I'm not sure, but he's saying the same things that there's a reset that you have to get, you know, have to be part of the reset. Matter of fact, I'm gonna call him in the morning and see what he got to say about what you just said. I'll call you back.
Yeah, didn't you introduce me to him, Brother Ray?
I believe I did.
I thought that we had talked before, that I talked with him.
Well, the whole reset is the whole plan to get a reset. You say what, Brother Ray? I'm sorry.
Yeah, he appointed me to the Council of Elders, to the Universal World Court. I'm waiting for my paper, and so I can really talk about it. But he's saying the same thing you're saying. So I know it's legit. I know what you're saying is legit.
I appreciate it, Brother Ray. I try not to say nothing. I don't know, man, because, you know, it's the way, like I say, it could be, it's fact-checking time. I that's good, Brother Ray. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you for opening your mouth and saying what's on your mind. A lot of folks don't say it. They'll think it, but they won't say it. They'll know it and won't say it.
Well, Brother Ray, I try not to be the one to say nothing, but damn, it's like something you're killing me to talk, man. Because when I grew up, I ain't never how to say nothing, man. So I got about four or five sisters, so they did all the damn talking and stuff. I could do my list.
I know what you're talking about, buddy. I know what you're talking about. Oh, by the way, have you talked to your sisters about this electric bill thing that DeSantis is throwing down here?
I will in the morning, man. I text them now and see what they say, man. But see, they all of them took the shot, man. So, you know, they all jacked up in the head, man. I tried to tell them not to take it, man. But they took that damn jab, bro. And so they might be doing, I don't know, man. But it's rough, man.
Well, I'm
go ahead, sir.
My whole family took the shot against my wishes. So, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And see, they used to call me what I did, talk and speak and tell them stuff. They used to think I'm crazy. I was crazy. And now all the stuff coming true, what I said. And anyway, man, it's a fun time to be alive, man. But I'm gonna find out, see what they say, man, about their light bill or whatever, man. Because they doing that to everybody all over the country, man. Everything.
Yeah, I know.
And I found out some more stuff why all the ships out there, that cargo ships, that they claim that they ain't got nobody to unload them. The reason is they ain't got no money to pay them damn cargo ships, man. America broke, y'all. That's why them ships out there just floating around. They can't afford to pay them.
And we're being fleeced. So the money that they could use to pay them to being robbed by these cabals.
Yes, sir. That's exactly what's going on. Why them cargo ships out there and there's a shortage, man. Okay, they not paying them cargo ships. So, of course, if you can't pay them, ain't nobody going to get enough for free. Y'all know that. So that's the whole thing. They lie about it. They lie about all this stuff, man.
Yeah, but you know, if you look at the history of it, you know why the ships have everything on it? Because that boy Nixon and who was president at the time? Nixon and Carter, I believe it was, cut a deal with China.
Nixon and Ford.
Sold everything up. Outsourced everything.
Right. Both of y'all right. All of them crooked, man. And I found out America financed Putin and Ukraine. They slick, man. Whatever. All these are Rothschild and these Ashkenazi.
Yeah.
They financing all of them, man. So it's all a game, man. This is all a game, man. To get everybody's mind off of what's going on. They playing three-card munchie, they think, man. They playing three-card munchie, but there's some us people out here with the magic glasses on. We seeing all this stuff coming through.
Well, let's stop our money from going in their pockets. Let's just hold it. Christmas is coming. Hold
yes,
your
sir.
Money.
Yes, sir. That's why I'm trying to get all mine and do what Dry Bone did and get some other stuff.
I got a call coming. I got to answer, Jeff. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. And ladies.
Right on, Brother Ray.
Thank
right
you.
On, Brother Ray.
Thank
when,
you, Brother Ray. Have a good evening.
Yes, sir. Is Kwame still on the line or he gone?
Now, Brother Kwame.
No, I'm here. What's up?
Oh, I just thought, I was wondering what you had to elaborate on what the conversation is. Oh, you said it too?
Well,
okay.
You know, Ukraine in itself and what they're doing, and it's kind of a twofold. America, Putin, and Trump. Trump was saying, make America great again. You know that the white population is declining. And so what are they doing? If they create the scenario of war, you're going to have refugees. Where do most refugees find sanctuary? in America.
They're coming over here. They come on here with that Nazi.
Yeah.
Well, they come on here with that Nazi crap in my face. Mm-hmm.
No, but they coming over here to be counted as one of the people.
Yeah.
And so, and then the other part is that Ukraine has the mineral supplies there with all the coal and everything. Plus, they are sitting right there is where the ports, where the ships come in at. So
right.
Ukraine is a major factor in Russia's doorway into their country, what goods come in the country. And Biden talking about putting sanctions on the banks, but Putin is so rich, his money, he ain't worried about it.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt the business people, but it ain't going to hurt Putin.
Yeah.
He already
see, a lot of these countries. Yeah, a lot of these countries say they don't even want to take the fiat American money. Putin dealing with China, with gold, and India got silver. So Putin don't give he don't give a damn about those American fiat money, man. That dude, man, he's smart, man. Okay?
Right.
And I keep telling y'all, whoever America hates, that's who I love, man. So Putin's smart, man. I told y'all the first president, the first czar of Russia was black, Alexander Pushkin. Okay?
Right.
So, man, it's just all a joke, man. It's all a joke, man. America done, man. Okay, and plus the the doggone generals and Department of Defense, the Pentagon say they ain't sending no damn troops over there. Biden ain't got no pull, man. As far as America being bank, what was Trump famous for? Getting people out of bankrupt, man. Getting in bankruptcy and taking folks out of bankruptcy. So America bankrupt. That's why they put Trump the president, man. Because America was bankrupt.
Right.
He showed up with the bankrupt time.
But see,
well, America's been bankrupt since 1933.
Right. But what we have happening right now, and we just had it on 2/20/2022, the planet Pluto has made itself back around to the exact place it was in Capricorn 240 years ago when United States in 1776 established this country with a constitution, and now that constitution is ended.
Yep, that's right. And we went through a portal that day, man. That was a portal.
Right.
And I just sent y'all something about these folks explaining the whole situation, man, about America. I sent it to you after that.
Yes, I just got it. Thank you.
It's about 30 minutes long. I'm sending you to Kwame, too, Ray.
All right. Brother Ray's gone. He had to answer another call. But, that was great what you did, Antoinette, in getting and Marvin's sister to go, because it's like a continuation of the story of Miss Kim and Brother Ray.
Yes,
I
just love them.
Antoinette, good. We all got, it's called, we had 3 degrees separation. 3 people to find whoever you're looking for. Now, it used to be 6 degrees, but it's 3 people now with this internet.
Right. Yep. And it once upon a time it was even less than that, because what it was, when two or more gathered in my name, there I am.
Yeah, that's true. So, but it's a fun time to be alive, man. I love it, especially with the World Wide Web, man. You can find anything now. And you can fact check anything. Anything somebody say. I love this time. That's what Yeshua said, be the end of time. When information and knowledge flow around the world. And that's exactly what he was talking about, the internet.
Yeah, but see, we got to understand something, too. There was what's called the Wood Wide Web. And trees have been talking to each other since they've been planted by God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm telling somebody else, man, on the Drive On Show. If this stuff go down, all we got to do is go outside and standing on the earth barefooted, and we could talk to each other again.
Yep. But all right, folks, I'm gonna lay my body down.
Watch yeah, out. I am too, because I didn't sleep today. Oh, Miss Kim,
Yes.
What you were saying, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, while there was a little silence, March the 7th, the Board of Trustees of the Trustee Airmen are working to have that as a national holiday. And they only have about 3 states now. But we should be able to do that with no problem. So, for them to have a national holiday, I want an international holiday. But I'll get back to that. But March the 7th, Monday, will be the beginning of the national holiday.
Yep, that's the day they was on the Edward Prentice Bridge, too, March 7th.
Yeah, Ms. Kim, didn't you say that was the day they graduated?
Yes, that was the first graduation.
I'm sorry, it's coming in muffled.
I said that was the first graduation day of the Tuskegee Airmen.
Okay. That's a significant day right there, isn't it?
Yes.
I wish Kwame was still on the line. He could tell some more about them dates.
Yeah, Brother Kwame?
You say he gone, though.
Yeah, no, I'm still here.
Oh,
I was just saying I was going to go. But no, we just had yesterday was Ash Wednesday and the new moon. So that's in alignment because the moon now, that graduation, and then she's having that, it's replanting that back into the consciousness again, because as the moon is waxing, it's bringing everything to light. That's why you do things in the new moon, and then the full moon is taking it away. The light is going away after the full moon.
Right on. I know y'all. Everybody got a gift, man. Everybody got a gift, man. Miss Kim got one. Antoinette got one. Everybody got a gift to bring to the buffet. I love this.
I didn't make nobody without one.
Say that again, Miss Kim.
Ms. Kim?
I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, that's okay.
It comes to
when
you
think of it, when it comes back to you.
Well, that's a good idea, because me, I try to make every doggone day a holiday myself. That's what I do.
I want to see, Brother West, you really
I want my class, as many as can, to look at Civil History, which is the Tuskegee Airmen at War documentary, and it's beautiful. Civil Victory.
Yep. So what you trying to say, Carmen?
No, I was just trying to hear what Ms. Kim was trying to say.
She said Civil Victory or something. Wow, y'all like? But what you said when I said I try to make every day a holiday, what you were trying to say?
Oh, every day is a holiday because every day that you wake up, you gifted 84,600 seconds to live. And so what you do with that is the holiday. How you use that gifted, that's why they say everybody lives in the present, because God has given us the present of the sun rising, and we're getting up to see that. That's why I say grand rising. You know, when I, instead of saying good morning, I say grand, because you're rising to a sun that you've never seen in that day before in your life.
And I give thanks that I say it's up to me not to do nothing stupid. That's what I say
right.
Every day when I wake up, not to do nothing stupid. Because I done some stupid things in my time. So I'm just trying to say it. Like I was telling them about how you can call up the Akashic Records to find out your scope. And when you just get by yourself and say your name and you want to know your scope with the universe, and you, within 24 hours, you get your answer whether you're in the plus or minus column, man. You know that, right, Kwame?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can find out your scope. And just you know, if you're in the minus column, you got some work to do. If you're in the plus column, you got to keep on rolling, man. But you can find out your scope.
So what exactly does that mean?
Just exactly what it means. Well, you're in the plus column, you're good with the universe and the Most High. You're in the negative column,
okay,
you're going to get the plus column for your time up. That's
right.
What I see.
And see, what he's trying to say, Antoinette, when we get up in the morning and we see the sunrise, is God's gift to us. What we do with that day, if we don't mess
mm-hmm.
it up, is our gift back to God. So what are you going to
mm-hmm.
give him, a good present, or are you going to give him a bad present? You going to give him a plus, or you going to give him a minus?
Well, hopefully
yeah.
a plus.
Right.
Well,
so that's why
that.
You do the best that you can do in that day in how you treat everybody on the planet, because he's let the sun rise on the good, the bad, and different. He ain't making no changes. Who am I to make a change and say that I'm better than the Creator who's shining the sun on us all, to say that I'm going to do this to this person or say something about that person? Because then that way you've got a plus. But if you start talking about criticizing, trying to hurt somebody, then you get a minus.
And see, I look at what Muhammad Ali said. I heard the most important thing I heard him say. He said, we got work to do, because nobody come to our head of damn just BS, man. You got to pay rent to the universe, man. We got something to do. Every one of us got a mission. We signed a contract before we came out of mama womb, what we supposed to do. And so what he did, he said he was just paying rent for walking around on the planet, man. That's what Ali said. He was paying his rent. All the stuff he did, he was paying his rent for being out there.
Yeah, I see what Ms. Kim talking about, because in Alabama they have in March the 7th last year
mm-hmm.
was Tuskegee Airmen's Day, and a lot of governors
mm-hmm.
in different places made that Tuskegee Airmen's Day, so I see they're doing the celebration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's also the anniversary of that Bloody Sunday. Because they were marching for Jimmie Lee Jackson that got killed fighting for his mama now. That's what
right.
that was about, Jimmie Lee Jackson.
Oh, okay.
He gave the ultimate sacrifice. Yeah, he gave her the ultimate sacrifice because the police was getting ready to beat up his mama, slapped his mama. So he quite naturally he had to man up. He manned up. And he
yeah.
And that's what it was all about.
Mm. Oh my. Wow. Oh my.
Yeah, they don't want the truth to come out, because the truth coming out, they just trying to stop this critical race theory. They don't want to hear the truth. The truth coming out on their ears.
I know, that is so true. This critical race theory. Do y'all want to hear some more music by Marvin Gaye?
Whatever you want to do.
I mean, I'm asking y'all.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all mind?
I heard. Yeah, yeah, go ahead. It's another song he played. I'm trying to find it. It was ain't nobody really heard. But go ahead, do your thing.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to do this one.
Oh, grains of sand at the beginning, when I didn't care, like my own reflection, you were always
one with him and Miss Kim.
Yeah.
One can have a dream, baby. Two can make that dream so real. One can talk about being in love. Two can say how it really feels. One can worship on a star. Two can make that wish come true, yeah. One can stand alone in the dark. Two can make the light shine through. It takes two, baby. It takes two, baby. Me and you. Just take two. Come true.
Our Miss Kim and Marvin Gaye. Miss Kim, you want to tell us about when you made that? Miss Kim?
No, ma'am.
You must have stepped away. Okay, well, I have one with Tammy Terrell. I'm sorry, Miss Kim? Miss Kim?
I said next time.
Yeah, it was in Motown. Is there anything else you want to add with that?
No, I said next time.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Give me plenty loving, baby. Give me plenty loving, honey. Keep on loving me.
Antoinette, you know, let me cut you off, but you know what I realized back in the day when Miss Kim and them were singing. Hey, if they had a beef with each other or something, they kept that stuff quiet, man. I noticed that.
Yeah.
By all the stars, you can't even hardly get one to say nothing bad about each other. But nowadays, look at these new jack stars now. They, especially the rappers, man, they talking bad about each other. You walk around shooting each other, man, over stupid stuff. But that's what I like about Miss Kim and them age. Yeah. You know how these rappers do on now with their beefs and stuff, shooting each other.
I don't really listen to it. I don't really listen too much to the new music. I listen to the old music.
Well, like I said, the way they flip the tone of the music from 528 with Miss Kim and them to 440, that's what making them fight. But I listen to them like the hip and hop music, something. That's how I talk to the young folks there. I hear somebody a little bit of their music, just to jingle or something. So I go around and talk some of their lyrics they got. That's how I get the young folks to talking to me. Because I go to their level, like Lil Dwayne and all them, and Duval. That's how I talk to the young folks. I love them. They energize me, too. And I energize them, too. That's what keeps me young. So I talk to them about their songs.
I said, that's good, because I really cannot stand their music.
I know. So we used to that love music. And I told y'all, they jacked the sound up in 1978. And I could, even the gospel songs sound like garbage now. And these preachers walk around calling themselves pastors.
Calling themselves pastors.
You know, back in the damn day, they was rebels, man. Pastors is for quiet folk, man.
Yeah.
So they want to be like the enemy too damn much, man. Call themselves a damn pastor, man. I look at them like they sideways, man, when I see somebody black talking about their damn pastor. Get the hell out of here. You want to be a reverend, man. But,
they don't have to go to college and stuff like that. They don't have to go to, you know, theology school and stuff like that.
Oh, they just made up like they call it, huh? They don't have to go to the seminary to get their degree or nothing, huh? So any jackass should be a pastor, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
pastors
like
and the evangelists and the prophets.
Did you see that thing where I sent you where they stole that lady bunny in church? Old lady like Miss Kim sitting there in a wheelchair. You saw that?
Yeah. That was terrible.
What you think?
That was truly terrible. It's really a shame the things that some of these churches. But you know what? God is the judge of it all. You know, he said he was going to clean out his own house first.
Mm-hmm.
So when he cleans out, his house, it's left for the rest of the people. You know, as in all this other stuff, God's going to take care of his own house first. You know, so he's going to deal with his own first.
Yeah, that's why I say I'm glad we in the day of judgment now. I'm glad somebody called it on camera. Everything on camera now, man. Whatever somebody doing now, you'd be a damn fool to try to do something crooked now with all these cameras and stuff and phones, man. You're totally idiot. Especially somebody black. They'll find somebody black within 48 hours. They will find your black behind.
Yeah.
If you black and do something stupid now
with this 48 hours. They'll do it even if you're innocent. Yeah, but they'll do it even, look at the ones that are getting killed and they're innocent. Trayvon Martins and the Michael, what was his last name? No, the boy is Mike Brown. Mike Brown. You know, the little 12-year-old boy, Tamar Rice. What's his name?
Yeah, you got it right.
The 12-year-old that was playing in the park.
Yeah, you got it right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just so many. It's so many now that, you know, to name them all off, we'll have to see about getting Patrice Gaines back on the show that wrote the book, something, because I got the book. She sent me the book. Say Their Names.
Yeah. Yeah, but with Trayvon Martin, there wasn't no cameras. They all did, I hear you, but and the plus, I look at Court TV, and they had one of them devils that shot up, what's the lady's name in Kentucky, Breonna Taylor. And you know what they charged him with, Antoinette?
What's that?
Won't you, the one of the police officers that shot up Breonna Taylor, they charged him with some wanton endangerment where he... Some of the bullets he shot went in a white boy apartment. So they didn't even charge him with Breonna Taylor. Plus, he got off today. He was proven not guilty for endangering the rest of the people in the apartment. Yeah, that's what the whole deal was about. See, I look at Court TV. I love it. Instead of looking at Judge Judy and Judge the rest of them, I look at the real Court TV. Yeah, they charged him with some wanton endangerment when he was endangering other people in the apartment complex.
Oh, my. I can't remember his name. But, you know, that law, you know, where we weren't even considered a citizen, Dred Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Remember where we're not even considered citizens. So, you know, they can do whatever they want to do to us, and it, you know, it's okay. And I think that's something that has never been taken off the books yet.
Right. Well, see, it's hard to prove self-defense. Even if one of them come at you and you defend yourself and you end up taking them out, it's even, because I saw this one story, the one in Milwaukee, where this black man riding down the street. I told you about that with a brother riding down the street on a bicycle, it was a mixed racial couple where the woman was black and the man was white. They was at a bar drinking drunk, and so the man didn't want to drive, so he let the woman drive, and she ended up hitting brother on the bicycle, and then they cussing him out, telling him to get the F out the road, F out the road, and so... make a long story short, they followed him, and the white dude got out running up on brother, so he told him, he gave one to the dome and shot the guy, they proved him guilty, even though he hit the guy the first time when they stopped and asked him why they hit him, and the white guy was bumping his gun, so my man, you know, gave him a knuckle sandwich.
Yeah.
And rolled off. So they followed him and jumped out the car. So my man, you know, he busted me with a shot. And they still made him, he got guilty, man, because he left and ran. I guess they wanted him to stay there. But it was, so they, instead of him proving him innocent, he got guilty. He got like five children.
Oh, my. Yeah.
That's why
I
watch court.
And it's not just black men. I mean, it's children. It's, you know, everything. I think they just don't want us to reproduce anymore because their numbers are declining.
And so you got people like George Soros. You got people like George Soros is funding these gangs that these little boys running around with. That's where they get the money and the guns from. I know Soros is somebody funding them to do that.
That's what I'm on
the trail
now.
There you go. Because I remember the police was funding giving these boys guns and stuff to do that. I remember hearing about that, too.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, Wesley, where can we go? Yeah, I'm going to have, do you remember Lance Scurf on YouTube?
Who's that?
Lance Scurf.
It's time for me to explain about it. What is it about?
He moved to Africa. He still does his shows, but he moved to Africa. So I asked him to come on and talk about, you know, moving to Africa. So many people are talking about they want to move.